More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, love and responsibility. Sometimes it's hard to know what the loving thing is to do, and some people are just hard to love. Let us help you love gracefully. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, love and responsibility. Sometimes it's hard to know what is the loving thing to do, and some people are just hard to love. When do you speak up? When do you offer it up? When do you let it go? When do you set boundaries? Let us help you love gracefully today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, we all have to admit that loving others as God would have us love them doesn't come easily. So are you in a situation where you're struggling to know what the loving thing to do is? For instance, how do you know when to speak up and when to just offer it up? How do you know when to put up with something upsetting that someone did? And when do you need to actually set a boundary? Or maybe you have someone in your life who's hard to love. What does it mean to love them? If you're wondering what the loving choice is in a particular situation or with a particular person, call in. Let us help you love with God's grace.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. I mean, it is hard to know what it means to love another person the way God wants us to love them. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. And the problem with that is we kind of think that he's just saying, you know, love other people the way you feel like loving them.
Mm-hmm.
Or the way what you think loving them means. What he's really saying is I'm teaching you a new way to love others. And that's not what comes naturally to us. And so we need to really look at what that means in different situations. You know, what does loving this person, especially this hard to love person, mean? Or in this difficult situation, what does love really require of me? And it's hard to always know the answer to that, and it's even harder sometimes to follow through on what it calls us to. So if you are struggling to know what the loving thing to do is in a given situation, or dealing with someone who's just hard to love in general, let's talk it out and find ways to love gracefully today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, I think a lot of our listeners may say, well, of course I love, you know, fill in the blank person or people in general. We don't want to actually look at the idea of love. What we say, though, is, yet they irritate the nonsense out of me. Yet they're so difficult I don't want to be around them. I wish my child hadn't married this person. I wish my spouse didn't have this parent or sibling. I wish that my whoever would get it together. But if we actually say you need to love them, of course I love them. But as we're talking about love, it takes more than just putting up with someone and then raging against them in our heads, or you know, dealing with them some of the time, but not really ever working out the relationship in some way. So each relationship in our lives requires a level of action from us. You know, do we need to talk through this with somebody? Do we need to just keep offering this up, but in a way that's actually loving to ourselves, that person, because we know they're going through some kind of struggle, and the rest of the people we have to deal with? Loving one person often also is complicated by the fact that it comes in a group, a family, a friend group, a workplace situation, your parish. Gosh, that sounds complicated, and it can be. So let us help you with it today on More to Life. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for if you're not sure what that is, when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections once a week over the course of about 5 years that looked at how we could discover God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by reflecting on God's design of creation, especially our bodies.
And, you know, as we're saying, loving people the way God wants us to doesn't come naturally or easily. Sometimes it's even hard to know what being loving actually means in a given situation or with a particular person. But while the world tells us that there is no greater virtue than being nice and going along to get along, the theology of the body reminds us that the Christian is called to do more. St. John Paul wrote a book called Love and Responsibility, which served as the basis of his theology of the body. In it, he argued that these two qualities, love and responsibility, have to go together. In fact, you can't have one without the other. As Pope Benedict put it, love without responsibility isn't love at all. It's just sentimentality. The responsibility, having responsibility without love is just toil, pointless, slavish, dutiful adherence to the rules and the roles of the relationship.
So instead, God calls us to love responsibly. You know, to love somebody means to work for their ultimate good. It doesn't really have anything to do with how we feel about them. It's a commitment to work for that other person's ultimate good no matter what. And to be responsible means rejecting the temptation to react to other people. Instead, cultivating the ability to respond in a way that allows us to work for their ultimate good no matter how afraid we feel or uncomfortable that makes us or how unhappy with us that makes them. You know, practically speaking, loving responsibly means that God has chosen us to find ways to charitably press the issues that other people would prefer to ignore, to lovingly insist that problems be addressed even when others would prefer not to deal with them, and persistently but kindly insist that each person, starting with ourselves, behave in a manner that befits our dignity as sons and daughters of God. You know, all of this requires us to learn to be strong and confident, effective people, working to build the kind of healthy, holy relationships that allow others to see the power of God at work in our lives. But that's, you know, one thing to say. It's another thing to do. Are you trying to deal with a person who is just hard to love? Or are you in a situation where you're not sure what it means to love somebody? Or your attempts to be loving have blown up in your face, seem to make things worse, or just caused a lot of people to be upset with you? Let's talk it out and find what it means to love those people and love in those situations gracefully. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. You can also get your questions in via email if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast. That's questions at moretoliferadio.com.
Is there somebody who's just getting on your last nerve? Is there a particular situation with somebody or a particular topic where you keep butting heads and it's stealing your peace and it's wrecking the relationship? Maybe other people are getting mad at you for it. Has somebody hurt you? And you're thinking, how am I loving? How can I possibly be loving when this person has betrayed me, caused me pain? What does it mean to be loving the way God wants me to love in that situation?
Or maybe somebody that you care about is doing a lot of dumb things and hurting themselves and hurting the people around them, and you're not sure how to help. You know, what does it mean to be loving in those situations? 877-573-7825. 7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your questions and calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you all those people in situations where it's hard to know what it means to be loving. You know, so often we try to do what we think is loving, but it ends up making things worse or just frustrating us or leaving us stuck. Give us the wisdom to know how to love as you would have us love, to love responsibly as your servant St. John Paul taught us, to be able to always work for the ultimate good of the people in our lives, and to resist the temptation to just do what comes easily, and instead to be able to choose, to be able to respond in ways that work for the good of others, while glorifying you and trying to be our best selves as well. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Love and Responsibility. As we were sharing in our reflection, that's the title of a book that St. John Paul wrote that's really all about how to love the way God calls us to love others. And so if you are struggling to love somebody who is a difficult person to love, or not sure what the loving thing to do is in the face of the difficult things another person says or does, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia on the Quest.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi there. Yes. So I'm calling my daughter-in-law. We love her very much. And she's kind of shy. She's very insecure. She's always had a lot of insecurity. And when my son, before he asked her to marry her, he talked to my husband and us and said, I'm kind of concerned about two things. Number one, there's always drama in her family. And we don't have drama. Like, I don't know, but, like, it's so crazy. People are always mad. People are shoving people away. You don't talk to people. Like, I don't know. I've never dealt with that. We don't do that. And second of all, like, I have to be everything for her. Like, she, you know, she really doesn't have any friends except her, you know, immediate family. And she just never been great at relationships. And my son's very social. And so he has guys from high school and college and things. And so, you know, like, I'm worried about these things. And I'm like, these are real things to be concerned about. But anyway, they proceeded in the marriage. So fast forward, when we get together for anything, somehow we do things to offend her that we can't even figure out. Like, you know, she'll make some big blow up. Like, after a birthday party, she'll say, nobody talked to me. And it's like, well, you try to talk to her. You're like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? How's this? How's that? You try to pull her into conversations, and she doesn't really engage. And so then she's like, people left me out. It's like everybody was just standing around the island talking. Like, no one meant to leave you out. Like, I don't even know. Like, it's just, she victimizes herself, and she wears it as a badge of honor. You know, our family's hurt her a million times. Like, we've apologized for everything. We can't even figure out what we ever did do. And she'll say, I don't feel like I'm a part of this family. And I'm like, we try to make you part of this family. Like, you don't try to be a part of our family. Like, and so now my son has kind of been taken over to the side and brought the drama. Now he takes her side. He used to say, you know, honey, nothing happened. My parents, everything was fine. What are you talking about? But now he's been brought into this drama. And now he's like, y'all don't treat her right. Like, or this happened. She thinks you all did this, or she thinks you said that. And I'm like, no one said that. Like, no one, I don't even know. She just brings up all this drama. And, you know, everyone that's there is like, I have no idea what she's talking about. Like, nothing happened. Like, nothing happened. So, and then it's always our fault. And we've apologized a million times. People say, we love you. I don't know how to make you feel part of our family, because we're trying to be a part of your family, and you push us out. And then this also goes to, now I hold the grandchildren hostage from you. So, you know, just a few weeks ago, there was an incident. Nobody could figure out what the incident was, but now she's mad again. So, like, they won't answer FaceTime. We aren't in the same city with our grandchildren. So we need FaceTime to be able to bond with our children and grandchildren. And so it's all this drama now is on us instead of her family. Her whole family thinks we're terrible people. I mean, it's gaslighting really at its best. I mean, I don't know how to do it. We love her. I love her. And
help me understand. So kind of how. And I understand why your son is choosing her side. I'll be, you know, she's his wife, and he tries to keep the peace here. But right. but I guess, I guess I'm just what as terms of your relationship with your son. I mean, is he shutting you out as well? That, you know, so neither of them will talk to you.
Yes, and here's what she'll say. He's finally taking my side. So now she's got somebody in her camp, you know, and God love him. He's got to live with her. I mean, I'm honestly, like, I pray for them so much because it's very twisted, and he's now got him in on this whole, you know, that we're the bad guys, and I don't know. So, yeah.
All right. So I guess two things that I could suggest, and there aren't easy answers for this because, you know, based on what you're saying, it sounds like she runs everything through a certain filter, right? So in a healthy relationship or with a healthy person, you know, if you do something wrong, I come to you and I give you the chance to work it out. I assume that you didn't mean to offend me. And I'll come to you and I'll say, look, you know, I'm sure you didn't mean anything by this, but I was kind of hurt when thus and such happened. Or I'd kind of like to do it differently this, you know, next time. What the problem with her approach is, as you're describing it anyway, is that everything is a test, right? It's like I'll know that you did right if I feel right at the end of the interaction. And my feelings are your fault. And it's very hard to work with somebody like that, and it's very hard to know what the right thing to do is with somebody like that. The only two things you can really do here, one, you keep up the conversation. You know, when they freeze you out, you just continue to text, you know, hey, I was thinking about you, hey, I was praying for you, or hey, this happened. You just keep the kind of light, chatty connection so that, you know, they understand that you haven't gone away, that, you know, whenever they calm down, you'll still be there. And you just maintain that at least, right? The other thing is you try not to fall over yourself apologizing, because that ends up ironically feeding the monster. Instead, what you need to do is say, you know, I'm really sorry you felt that way. Help me understand how that would have gone. If that situation could have gone the way you wanted it to, what would that have looked like? Because, you know, we have two very different experiences, right? We come from two different families, and I don't know what you need. So, you know, if we had it to do over again, how do you wish that would have gone? What is it that you were looking for that we didn't do? Help me understand, right? So if you fall over yourself apologizing, you're buying into the idea that you did something wrong, and then you can never get it right because she's not communicating what her needs are. But this way, it's, you're able to say, you know, I feel sad that you were hurt. I don't, you know, but I don't know what you need. So if we had that to do over again, like if you were at the birthday party and it went the way you wanted it to go, tell me what would have helped you feel welcome. Tell me what would have helped you feel included. What is it that I need to do that would help you feel good? And then what happens if she gets mad at you anyway? You're able to go back and say, you know, you told me to do thus and such, and I really thought that I did that, right? Do you remember when I did this? And so if I didn't, I'm doing what you're telling me to do, right? Which gives you the credibility to challenge her then effectively, because she's given you feedback, and either it is working or it's not. But you have concrete things to work with. Now, again, that's not going to work perfectly because, you know, there's still that temptation for her to read it through that victim lens. But it's the only way to go. Because otherwise you end up just being painted as a victim, and then you apologize for it, which buys into the idea that you did the wrong thing, and it just gets worse from there. So I'm really sorry that that's the situation that you're in, but if you can follow those two suggestions, you know, keeping even when they freeze you out, keep up the texting, keep up the ways of touching base. Even if they don't respond to it, just let them know that you're not going anywhere, you haven't given up on them, you still love them, whatever. And also, when they complain about something, instead of just apologizing, or instead of apologizing even at all, going back and saying, well, help me understand how that could have gone better, what you would have needed in that situation to feel loved. So if you can follow those two things moving forward, I think that you'll make some progress. It'll still be rough, because you still have to break through that lens she sees everything through, but it'll help. Kathy, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. If you feel like you need more support, then I really encourage you to check out CatholicCounselors.com, where you can work with a member of our team to really find faithful ways to respond to this on an ongoing basis, and that's CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Love and Responsibility. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what the loving thing is to do, and some people are just hard to love. Are you dealing with a situation like that? Or a person like that? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after the break.
Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guerendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. That is setonhome.org.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Love and Responsibility. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what the loving thing to do is in a given situation, and some people are just hard to love. If you're dealing with something like that, or someone like that, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning and happy spring to you both, Dr. Greg and Lisa.
And with your spirit as well, Bill. So, you know, we were talking over the break about what Adam and Eve in the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis can teach us about love and responsibility.
First off, it's just so cool to be able to dip back tens of thousands of years and say we can learn from our progenitors, Adam and Eve. There's some great words in Hebrew in the book of Genesis about the first task, you could say, of our first parents. And the words are shamar and aboda, or avoda, it's also been pronounced. And it means to protect and guard, and the other, avoda, means to cultivate. And I think about this, I mean, in some way, almost every day in my own life as a husband and a father, to protect and guard, and then to cultivate. And that's what love is, right? It's not just caring for the garden, which involves, you know, the seed and watering it and sunlight, but human relationships too. Adam was supposed to care for the Garden of Eden, but also the Garden of Eve. So that means love and responsibility. It means that there's an interpenetration here, and that means my whole self. And I think that's how life happens. The challenge today is that we are kind of bumping into each other and being offended by the other and saying, you're cramping my style or you're invading my space, when we're supposed to give and receive. And I find myself, again, practically trying to live this call to care for and cultivate every day.
Yeah, well, I hear what you're saying, and all I could think of is we're all so busy tending our own personal gardens, you know, trying to pay the bills, trying to get the job done, trying to get the kids to places, trying to do all the things to tend the garden so it, you know, will stay tamed at least, if not beautiful. And we completely forget to tend to the other, don't we?
Yes, it kind of becomes, too, like a garden that's a little... It's not free or open enough. It's not. It doesn't have that kind of wildness, too, of spontaneity and unpredictability. In other words, our garden kind of becomes a little stoic or cramped. I think that, you know, especially family life, and all your listeners could probably relate, when we give it a little bit more air, we find a little bit more beauty, a little bit more of that wildness of just the spontaneity of life and love. And that, I think, is a lot healthier than us constantly controlling or feeling that our freedom is being impinged on by someone else.
Amen. You know, really important points to reflect on in terms of our own ability to be loving and responsible. Bill, thanks so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the good work that the Theology of the Body Institute does, where can they turn for more information?
Yes, we offer week-long courses and immersions in the teaching at tobinstitute.org. Thank you.
And that's both live and online, right?
Yes, it is, yes.
TOBinstitute.org. Thanks for being with us, Bill. We appreciate your time.
A pleasure.
And, folks, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about loving difficult people and loving in difficult situations. You know, loving others as God would have us love them doesn't come easily. And if you're in a situation where you're struggling to know what the loving thing to do is, for instance, maybe you're not sure when to speak up and when to offer it up. Or you're not sure when to put up with something or actually set a boundary with somebody. Maybe you've got somebody in your life who's hard to love. Well, what does it mean to actually love them? Well, if you're wondering what the loving choice is in a particular situation or with a particular person, give us a call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It was like these aha moments kept happening for me over and over and over again. And they still happen because every time you turn around, you see something in society, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and are looking at it through the lenses of Scripture and teachings of the faith, as we say always here, it makes sense. You connect the dots and you look at what's happening with all of this idea of the transgender ideology and this saying, I want to do whatever I want with my body because it's my body. And then you see all the problems that come from that, not even looking at it from a quote-unquote religious perspective, but the physical problems and mental problems, of course, that the media tried to suppress, but now it's starting to come out. It's like, well, that's because you're denying who you are, made in the image and likeness of God. It's not that complicated, but we make it complicated because we don't want to look at the truth.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Why does marriage require complete fidelity between spouses? The Catholic Catechism states that the intimate union of marriage is a mutual self-giving of two persons ordered to the welfare of their children, which requires that there be an unbreakable union between them. The deepest reason is found in the fidelity of Christ to his church. Through the sacrament of matrimony, the spouses are able to represent that fidelity and witness to it. For these reasons, the spouses can be nothing but completely faithful to one another. Marriage is such a deep, personal union of giving oneself to the other that it cannot, the Catechism asserts, be an arrangement until further notice. As difficult as it may seem to retain this indissolubility for a lifetime, it is made possible by God's irrevocable love in which the couple shares and which will support them through their marital journey. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Imagine being married to someone who regularly goes out of their way to make your life easier and more pleasant. Someone who's willing to make little sacrifices just to see you smile. It's as if this person said, I do to the marriage, not just on your wedding day, but every day. Relationship experts call these qualities emotional rapport and benevolence. Research by the Gottman Institute found that healthy couples maintain a 20-to-1 ratio of these sorts of positive interactions when they're not in conflict. Can you imagine how that might affect a marriage? According to Gottman, couples with high levels of emotional support and benevolence are more likely to give one another the benefit of the doubt when one of them accidentally offends the other. Such couples are better at avoiding conflict and handling it more gracefully when it occurs. High levels of benevolence lead to greater trust, too, and that in turn leads to greater intimacy and sharing. Thankfully, even couples who don't have high levels of benevolence and emotional rapport can cultivate it. It all starts with finding those little ways of saying, I do, every day. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or for more personal support, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, love and responsibility. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what the loving thing to do is. And, of course, some people are just hard to love. Are you dealing with a person who's hard for you to love? Or in a situation where you're not sure what the loving thing to do is, whether it's to put up with that person or set a boundary or to speak up or offer it up? 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. By the way, I just wanted to share a resource for you. If you're interested, tonight at 7:30 Eastern, Lisa and I are doing our monthly Catholic Home Live Q&A. That's where we get together with all the members of the Catholic HOM community, that stands for Households on Mission. We talk about parenting, we talk about living our faith and our family lives, and really creating more loving, caring, connected Catholic homes. If you'd like to learn more, and or join it tonight, no registration required, just have to be a member of the Catholic HOM community. Download the Catholic HOM app, subscribe, and join us tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central for a live Q&A with Lisa and I about parenting and living your faith abundantly at home.
And I want to be clear here. We are not giving a talk. This is a conversation. So it's all over Zoom. We're there. Anybody can ask any questions they want. And we are just part of a beautiful Catholic community. It's kind of like having everybody over to our living room. So very gentle, very fun, and a great place to get the community you need and the answers you're looking for.
Download the Catholic HOM app today and become a subscriber. Join us tonight for the live Q&A. With that, we are taking your calls right now about those people who are difficult to love or those situations where it's hard to know what the loving thing to do is. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with an anonymous caller who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Listener on line 3, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
I've been married for about 6 years, and my wife has begun, it started out, she accused me of, like, assaulting her in her sleep, and we did some things.
When you were sleeping?
When we were both sleeping, that,
okay.
Like, I would hit her.
But, okay.
You know, then it kind of escalated into she was saying that I do it sometimes with my eyes wide open, and then it now it has escalated to she is accusing me of being sexually inappropriate with our daughter.
In your sleep?
And no, just like if I am alone with my daughter, for instance, I went in the bedroom with my daughter to read her a book and closed the door and locked it so we could read alone. And my wife began to scream things inappropriate that I was doing.
Why would you need to lock the door?
It was probably inappropriate on my part, but she had the TV going loud in the other room. And
I'm gonna stop you. So I want to address the first thing first. So there is such a thing as REM sleep behavior disorder. What happens when we dream? There's a part of our brain that's supposed to lock us down so we don't act out what we're dreaming. Sometimes there is a disorder in the brain that causes that does not allow that part of our brain to lock us down, and we end up acting things out in our dreams. And so people can become physically violent in their sleep. They can even become sexually active in their sleep, and they can look, they can sleepwalk, and they will have their eyes open when they do that. They're not awake, but they are acting out whatever they're dreaming, so you want to go to a sleep disorder clinic to have that checked out. You want to take that seriously. You know, you told our screener there aren't any bruises or anything. Thank God, but that's not the standard you want to follow. If your wife is saying that you're being physically violent in your sleep, there's a good chance you have REM sleep behavior disorder, and you want to go to a sleep clinic to have that checked out.
Now, also the next step in that, or the first step in that, while you're waiting for the appointment, is sleep somewhere else till you have it all checked out and you know what's going on, so that she can't be hurt by you in any way because of a disorder. So sleep on the couch for a couple of weeks, whatever. You can have whatever, you know, marriage situation you want, but for actually sleeping, sleep in a guest room or sleep on the couch or somewhere where you can't, you know, accidentally do her any harm.
And you said that it escalated to the point where she's accusing you of being inappropriate with your daughter. Now, I mean, I guess that if she's angry enough with you for not taking her seriously when she's told you that you're being violent with her at night, that she's assuming the worst about other behaviors too. But I have to tell you, locking the door so that you could read alone with your daughter is weird.
Yeah, I've read to my children every single night of their lives, and I've never had to close the door or lock the door.
And your explanation that she had the TV on loud doesn't ring true, because locking the door doesn't make the TV any quieter.
You could still just close the door.
So I have concerns that you're not quite clear about what appropriate boundaries actually are. And so I need you to really listen to your wife about both of these things and start changing some behavior. And so definitely getting help for the sleep disorder, and really listening to what she's saying about boundaries with your daughter, and seeking appropriate help, because frankly, this is concerning for me, what you described to me, even with your explanation. It's not reportable, as it is, but I am concerned about what you shared with me. So please do listen to your wife and get appropriate help. Thank you for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, our show is titled Love and Responsibility. We're talking about sometimes when it's hard to know what the loving thing to do is. And sometimes it's hard to love particular people who, you know, have hurt us or are doing or saying hurtful things. What is the loving thing to do? Let's talk it out at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let us help you discover what it means to be a loving person and love the way God is calling us to.
We're talking now with Ginger, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Ginger. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Morning.
Hi, what's up?
I just have a situation with my husband where I've been married 47 years and just recently retired 6 months ago. And he's been retired for a while, like I want to say like 10 years. And part of our problem is that I do, you know, I want to do some things. I want to get out and do some things and visit people and be active. And he's very resentful of that. And it's been causing like a lot of issues between us all the time. And I guess I'm just struggling with, do I just stay home because he's, you know, he doesn't want to do things, or how do you manage it? How do I manage that in a loving way?
So what's happening, I think you're having the negative conversation, but not the positive one. And what I mean by that is, you know, he's telling you don't go out and do those things. He's not telling you what he wants you to do, right? Or you haven't had the conversation about, you know, well, what are the things that would help you feel loved and connected to me? You know, what are the things we could do to make you feel like I'm here? I mean, I think in his mind, he was hoping that whenever you retired, you'd get more time together, all right? You'd be around more. But of course, you also can't just sit there at his feet and just, you know, never do anything.
And it's very hard to go from going out and working every day and talking to people to just sitting at home with one person all the time. So
I would suggest having the positive conversation about, and look, hey, what are the kinds of things that you'd like us to do? What is it that you want me around for? And the four categories for connection or loving, working, playing, talking, and praying together. So what are the things, and so talk about that. What are the things we can do to really work together around the house? You know, are there certain chores or tasks that you'd like to do together? So that's working, playing. What are some things that we can do for fun? Is there something that we could do every day to kind of connect? Now, I know your husband has some physical disabilities, but, you know, play cards, watch a show. If he's able to take a little walk, you know, what is it that would give you a chance to laugh together and enjoy each other's company a little bit? Working, playing, talking. You know, what are the times that you could create some times to really, you know, talk about deeper things, not just how the day went or what went on, but hopes and dreams and your needs that you have in order to become the people God is calling you to be, talking about the way God's shown up for you in the days, you know, creating space, whether that's around a daily meal or a special time in the evening where you're just going to sit down and talk together. And then praying, of course, as a couple. So those four categories, working, playing, talking, and praying together. Sit down and talk about those points of connection around those things. And
make actual lists.
Right.
You know, write these things down so that you're not having to come up with new things all the time. You've got a list of, hey, this is what we're going to, you know, choose from. And then sit down together. Once you've created these lists of what you're going to do to work, play, talk, and pray together a little bit every day, maybe a bigger thing, you know, every week that you can kind of carve out for each other, and then actually put them on your schedules. Then you can look at all the things you want to do with your friends, all the things you want to get out and do, and actually make a schedule, just like you would when you were at work. You had things you did for certain hours of certain days, certain meetings on certain days. That way he knows that you're working on being a great couple post-retirement. These are wonderful years that you can have together. But you also, he will totally know, and you will both be in agreement on, I'm going to see this friend on Tuesday afternoon. I'm going out with the gals on Thursday night. I've got book club on whatever day. Whatever those things are, they're on the schedule. They've been agreed upon, but you've prioritized each other first. So you get to go out and do the things he does not want to do, and it's not like he's missing out all the time because you've planned it together and you have time scheduled to work and play and talk and pray together throughout the course of your day and week.
All right, so start there, and then whenever, you know, and then make a plan. I think the other thing is you want to create a schedule together where you're talking about when you're going to go out and do things. So, you know, you guys are managing each other's expectations. You know, you wake up in the morning, he thinks you guys are going to get a day together, you have a different plan, I'm going to go visit a friend. But if you haven't talked about that, then that's going to lead to crossed expectations and conflict. So if you actually sit down the night before and say, let's talk about what's going on tomorrow. What do you need from me? You know, how can we be there for each other tomorrow? And you make sure you got your working, playing, talking, and praying together time. And then you say, you know, oh, also, I'd like to go visit this friend, or I need to go volunteer for that thing. And then you're able to, you know, coordinate your expectations. Making that transition from working to retirement together can be a little bit bumpy, but if you're intentional about making the plan instead of just reacting whenever you guys feel frustrated with each other, it can go a lot more smoothly. Thanks so much for the call, Ginger. If there's more we can do to support you guys through this transition, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com for some faithful guidance on managing that retirement transition. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about those times when it's hard to know what the loving thing to do is, or when you're dealing with a person who's just hard to love. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from John 13:34.
I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another.
Amen. John 13:34. And we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show. You know, it's not like it didn't occur to people to be loving before Jesus came along. What Jesus is saying is, I am teaching you a brand new way of being loving, a way of loving that requires some sacrifice, a way of loving that requires us to be willing to put ourselves out and leave our comfort zones behind to always work for the ultimate good of the other person, which, you know, it's not easy to do, but it's really a path to a joyful life. Stick around for more to life with your calls about being loving in difficult times or loving a difficult person. 877-573-7825. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Father John Bonavita Cola, There are many Catholic Christians who turn on the radio and they want to hear something spiritual, something about faith. So it's critical that in every area we can have Catholic radio, and that we as Catholics will continue to support this great work and for bringing the message of the gospel, the message of our beautiful Catholic faith to everyone.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you have an insurance plan that pays for everything, even things you don't believe in? There are options. You can join Solidarity HealthShare, a faith-based health-sharing community. Plus, Solidarity HealthShare can save you money with prices starting as low as $384 a month for families.
Call to see how much you can save. 844-398-9399. That's 844-398-9399.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton, some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak, excuse me.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Love and Responsibility. You know, sometimes it's hard to know what's the loving thing to do, and some people are just hard to love. So let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kelly, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey on Domestic Church Radio.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
So, basically, there's a lot of background, but cut to the chase. My husband and I have a new baby. With that,
congratulations.
We bought a house, so a lot of stressful things happened.
So, is this the first baby, or are there a lot of other children as well?
Yeah,
or?
First baby. She's 11 months old now.
Okay, cool. Okay. So, new baby, new house. Gotcha.
Yes.
And it says your husband also has a new job. Is that what I'm seeing as well?
Yes. He previously had a job that he did not like, which made things very stressful, went to therapy, everything's good, got a new job. So we're in this brand new job. And when everything was so stressful, I felt that I needed to step back and give him more control. I'm a very type A go-getter. And I felt the need that, you know, God is calling me to step back and let him take the lead. Now we have this new job, but it is largely commissions-based, and so we don't have a salary coming in yet or any money coming in. And we've talked about it, but he doesn't want me to get any work going, although I'm, like, ready to go do it and do, you know, online business or anything. There's so many opportunities, but he wants me to still take a step back. But then we're still worried about money, and it's been almost 2 months now. We have a savings, but I'm just trying to figure out how to lovingly support him, because I still feel the call to kind of step back, but then I don't want him to get so stressed.
All right, so let me, how are you guys praying together about this, or if you are?
Yes, so we've been doing a few novenas. We started doing the cycle of novenas with Divine Mercy Sunday. Okay. So that's how we've been praying each day for.
Okay, and so you're praying the novena.
And what
are you talking about? Your concerns? Are you talking about after you're praying or in the midst of praying this over these days? Are you talking about what the two of you feel you're being guided toward? What's going on there? Or are you just reciting the novena and saying, Lord, help us?
honestly, we are talking. I still feel like stressed and stuck. Like, is there something different I should be doing? Because he knows how I feel. He still kind of wants me to step back and wait and see how this goes. I don't want it to go to the bad place it was last time when he got so stressed.
Of course. So the reason we're talking about the praying about it together, because we, you know, both of you have your own ideas about how you'd like to respond to this. Okay. And it's good that you're praying the way you are. But I think that you're missing a piece where you need to kind of give your hearts to God in this situation and say, you know, okay, Lord, you know, I know what I want and he knows what he wants, but help us to figure out what you want and help us to take care of each other while we do it. And then from there, how do you know what God wants? Well, you kind of have to listen to what he's saying on both of your hearts, right? So you're saying, you know, I'm feeling this call to step back, but I also have these worries about money. And he's saying, you know, I'd like to be able to be, you know, the breadwinner here, but I also have these other concerns. And so the question is, God is giving each of you a piece of the answer, a piece of the puzzle, right? And he wants you to talk to each other and pray to him to figure out how those pieces of the puzzle fit together. So, you know, is there a way, you know, that you could be the wife and mom that he'd like you to be, that I think you'd like to be, you know, but still contribute financially in some way? You know, whether that is by, I mean, even by saving money, by clipping coupons or whatever, or doing some of these online ideas or other businesses that wouldn't take a lot of your time and still allow you to be, you know, the kind of the family that you're calling, that you feel called to be. You know, the point is that I think you both kind of come into the prayer with an idea of what you each want, instead of really trying to listen to what God is saying to each of you through each other's needs and desires and building the family that he's calling you to through that. I hope that's making sense, because a lot of times what happens is we limit God by coming to prayer with our own ideas of how this could work out, you know. And I say, well, you know, do you, Lord, okay, here are the two options that we're trying to decide between, and God doesn't want us to pick either of those, so we end up feeling frustrated because he's not telling us what to do, when in fact he's telling us to do a third, fourth, or fifth thing that we're not even asking him about, and so we can't hear it. And so what I'm suggesting to you is, however you want to pray about this, okay, I would, and maybe this is in part response to the Novena prayers that you've been doing, is I want you to really be talking to God in each other's presence about what's on your hearts and listening to God by hearing what he's placed on both of your hearts and saying, how could we put these things together in a way that would make sense, right, so that we are building the family he wants us to build and being the partners he's calling us to be. And it's not my husband doing his thing or me doing what I want to do, but us humbly coming to God and saying, how can we put all this together? These various things that are on each of our hearts, we don't know how to fit together. How would you put them together, Lord? Because he has a plan for that, right? And that's how I want you to approach the prayer. So by all means, continue the novenas, but use that as a way of springboarding this conversation about how God wants to put together all the desires of your heart into a plan that you haven't considered yet, instead of just bringing to him the options that you've thought of on your own, each of you, and asking God to rubber stamp one of them.
Now, those novenas are a beautiful invitation to God to enter into your life, your marriage, all of your plans, and to ask him to really be there, and to be able to do that over the time of a novena allows you to really center your prayers about that, allows you to remember to bring God into all of it. But as Greg's saying, it should be that platform also that aids in you two discussing this and making plans based on what you're both feeling the Holy Spirit is leading you to do.
Good. All right. Thank you, Kelly, for the question. If there's more we can do to support you guys, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or even on Catholic Home, where we have these kinds of conversations with families every day. Because, you know, every Catholic household is called by God to be a unique family, to be a witness in the world of God's love. And Catholic Home, that's spelled H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission, is a place where we get together with families all over the world every day talking about how to build a more loving, connected, caring, faithful Catholic household on mission. Download the Catholic H-O-M app, and in fact, join us tonight for our live Catholic Home Monthly Q&A, where Lisa and I are getting together with all the subscribers to talk about parenting questions, living your faith more abundantly at home, encountering Christ more meaningfully at home, and dealing with marriage and family issues, whatever it is. Join us tonight for our live Q&A by becoming a subscriber to the Catholic HOM community by downloading the Catholic HOM app.
And then you look at the Catholic Home Builder section, and the link to the Zoom meeting is right there for that, so you can be with us live tonight and ask any questions you have and begin to build a Catholic community that will support you in your domestic church life.
Well, we hope to see you there tonight. In the meantime, thanks so much for tuning in. If you are dealing with people who are hard to love or in a situation where it's hard to know what the loving thing to do is, then let us walk with you. Visit us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about how the Pastoral Solutions Institute can help you lead a more faithful, abundant marriage, family, or personal life through the light of God's grace. Check it out there, CatholicCounselors.com. And don't forget to get out there and celebrate the life God has for you, because you know what? With God's grace, there is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.